like, thank God for Blessed Is She that I got to like pray with these women and like be reminded of the truth. Cause I would just keep being a little kid and drowning and like not know the truth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Jenna.
How are you?
So good.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
so good. Dun, dun, so good. Dun, I got a you.
Yeah.
Love that. I mean, I saw you last night. I'm seeing you this morning.
Happy week four of Lent.
Did you just have to double check yourself?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say fourth week, but I think it's confusing because the first week is a half week.
So no, you're right. You're right. This is the fourth week of Lent, even though we have had an additional half a week. And that is confusing. So this is our fifth podcast episode.
We don't need to count episodes.
Okay. Anywho, Jenna, how's Lent going?
I love in the app, I asked you gals how their Lent is.
Yeah.
And my favorite response that got the most responses was, it's a Lenty Lent.
I did a poll.
I just love when people say Lent is Lenty. I think it's so funny.
Are you having a Lenty Lent?
It's like saying, why is the sky blue? Because it's blue. It's just like a blue sky.
It's a bluey blue.
You know what I mean?
It's a bluey blue sky.
Like, I want to explain everything with its word. Why is Jesus how he is? Because Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesus is Jesus-y.
He just is.
It's kind of good. I love the isness.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Lent is the isness of Lent. It's Lenty.
Lent is Lenty.
That's great.
So anyway, I don't feel that my Lent is Lenty, meaning I think what people mean by that, and correct me if you have a different opinion on it, but I think they mean like it's a real struggle, suffering, like I'm sacrificing more than I thought I would have to sacrifice.
That's it. Yeah.
It's like hard.
I do think it's often about their like Lenten promises, penances, but I think it's more that they're surprised by the Lentiness of their life.
Yeah.
In addition to their penances.
Yes.
Yeah. Aubrey posted just last night something on Instagram, like an encouragement to keep going if you're struggling this Lent. Like if you've already fallen off, you know, like begin again. It was really sweet, and I was like swiping through, and there were so many comments, people being like very encouraged and people sharing very freely, like, this is a real struggle. I feel like a failure. I was like, guys, are we okay?
How sad.
I know. That's not the Lent that I'm having, so it took me a minute.
Can I tell you another thing I thought of this morning?
Please.
I was getting ready for this.
Yeah.
And you guys, I don't get ready for anything. I make it my life's mission to like not wear makeup. It didn't start off intentionally.
Yeah.
Like I'm just, I wouldn't say lazy, but I just don't care about makeup. Like it's never been something I'm interested in. Okay. So that's probably where it started. I'm not interested in this.
Okay.
Then I would see guys on the internet who just don't ever wear, like, men in their lives are not wearing makeup.
Right.
And we look at their faces and they look completely normal to us.
They look amazing.
Like a normal guy who's good looking and handsome, and his beard is whatever.
Yep.
He went to the nines. Like
barbershop.
They're just looking, they look like normal people. And I want to reclaim that for women.
Wow.
Like I want to look like a normal person without makeup on.
Yeah.
I don't want people to look at me and think, wow, she really needs to put on a full face, even though they probably do think that. But I want to like reclaim that we don't have to do that to look normal and look beautiful.
Yes.
Like men are good looking without that.
Jackie Hill Perry was asked how she feels about fake eyelashes.
What? Oh, I did hear this.
Yeah. And she was like, I like more power to you. But for me, that is false advertising. I am not, one day I'm not going to keep that up, and you're going to be used to my face with false eyelashes and you're going to be disappointed because that's not what I actually look like.
That's so funny.
I was like, yeah,
that
it's
kind of so
true
funny.
About everything.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't like to do my hair. I don't like to do my makeup. I don't like any of it. So I was doing it today and I was like, it would be interesting to do a poll on Instagram or on our app.
Yeah.
And say, does anyone else hate this as much as I do? But I wanted to word it in a way where I'm not insulting the people who actually like it. Like some people find a lot of joy in like the glamming up.
Creativity, yes. Like self-expression.
Right. Yeah. And it's so cool to see people's creativity with that. I have a couple daughters who just love it. Like it lights them up to like get all cute and I can't relate.
Yeah. No, it's a chore for me. It is definitely one more thing.
Yeah.
That I have to do.
I don't want anyone to feel like that. But I get it. There are chores in our lives.
Yeah. Does it need to be one of my chores? Not so sure.
It's some people's favorite chore, I guess. Just like mine is laundry.
Hang on.
Okay.
Are you telling me that what? When Mary spoke to your heart about how to do the laundry, that it
then... She said one lash at a time.
You're telling me that like her help with that,
okay,
her direction in that okay. has made laundry your favorite chore?
No, laundry's always been
It's always
favorite.
Been your favorite. Okay. Yeah. Whew. Because I'm not there with the dishes.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah.
I've always loved laundry. Mm. Something about the cadence of this movement.
It's like self-soothing for you.
I'm yeah, rocking.
No, truly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that with the dishes when you're loading the dishwasher too. It's like this motion.
I do not feel that way about the dishes. I also don't have a dishwasher. Meet my dishwasher.
Her name's Beth.
It's me. And my dishwasher does not feel that way. About dishes.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are.
Here we are.
I'm going to pray about it, Jenna, about the makeup thing. Yeah.
I want to know in the comments if anyone else hates makeup. I don't say that word in my house, so.
And we are in your house.
Yeah.
You know, I often have heard women say they gave up makeup for Lent.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're 4 weeks in. Maybe I shouldn't have considered that, but I didn't. It's not what the Lord asked me to do. So
here we go.
Now I'm like, I kind of wish you would have asked me to do that. That would have been very interesting, you know?
There's always next year, Beth, if we make it, God willing.
Listen, I don't count on anything when it comes to Lent. I
thought you were going to say when it comes to living.
No.
Like, who knows what tomorrow brings?
No, I'm actually...
Memento mori,
I'm probably too confident that I'm going to be living next Lent. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not anticipating dying, but I could. Yeah, I don't know.
It's possible.
Yeah. Whatever you want, Lord. Anyway, not trying to be cavalier. I'm just realizing that, like, I can have all kinds of plans. If there's a theme to my Lent, it's that there are things I think I need to do.
Yeah.
And then there's what God thinks I need to do. And those things are wildly different.
Yeah.
Wildly different. Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing what he wants me to do and feeling a tad bit guilty that I'm not doing the thing that I think I need to do.
Yeah.
I should actually probably pray about that. Mm-hmm. Because it's like back here, like, he's always letting me off easy for Lent.
Hmm.
Which is not true, because it's always like very deep stuff mm-hmm. that comes up. But yeah, I think we should be sweating a little bit.
The Lenty Lenters, they're sweating.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah.
So we love you guys. However your Lent is going, please share down below. Is it Lenty?
Yeah.
Is it deeper than you thought? For all you 100% sanguines in the world, is it more shallow than you thought?
Stop.
That's my Lent experience typically.
Do you think it's just that you're not translating the Lentiness of your life mm-hmm. to the season of Lent? Like this, you're just living your life, but actually it is quite Lenty, but you're not, see what I did there? But you're not maybe receiving it or thinking or praying about it as Lent.
I mean, 1000%. Who has the time to sit and pray?
Honestly.
But I need to make the time to do that so my Lent can be Lenty. Instead, I'm just, oh my gosh, have you guys seen that gif of the little boy who thinks that he's drowning?
Yeah.
But it's really like 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's me. I'm like,
stand up. Stand up.
And the mom just stands up. And he stands up and he's like, that's me. I'm like the little kid just drowning in 2 feet of water. And the Lord's like, I'm right here.
Let me help you stand up. That's so good, Jenna.
If I only just prayed.
Jenna, you pray. You're talking about your routine.
Yes.
You're talking about getting back to a routine.
Been out of routine for 37 years.
That's good. Wow, that's good. Just been tweaking that routine for 37 years. I too am tweaking my routine.
Yeah.
I felt so good about my rule of life.
That's what I'm saying.
My morning prayer.
Beth gave a whole talk on it. A couple talks.
Can't stop talking about it. But I'm realizing, I don't know. Again, the app. I posted something. Where was this? I think it's like with my Well gals, because we just started a brand new round of the Well mentorship. And I think like just naturally in different threads and on different calls, these women are just casually throwing out that they spend the first hour of the morning with the Lord.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Wow.
That's like kind of crazy to me.
Incredible. Who's doing that? I need their number.
You could see it on the app. I'm not going to call them out here, but it's public.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, listen, I pray. I pray every day. I pray a lot of the day, like different times of the day. I'm not trying to brag here, but I am feeling a little defensive. But I was like, Lord, do you want me to spend an hour with you in the morning? Because these women are very inspiring, you know?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm struggling with my 30 minutes. Not to spend the time, but yeah, I'm struggling with life, you know? Also, every day I'm like, I don't think I know how to pray. Mm-hmm. Lately, every single day, I'm like, what is prayer? Father Parks always jokes about this. He's like, I go through these different seasons and I think, do I even know how to pray? What is this? I was like, can't relate. And suddenly I'm like, oh.
Can relate.
I don't know if I know how to pray.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Beth and I were recently at a conference where Ralph Martin was giving a little testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite way that he explained prayer that I loved was prayer is paying attention to God.
So good.
So good.
I've always said like prayer is relationship, but I think that's even like a finer tuning of the definition.
Mm. I do think that paying attention has to come before a relationship.
Whoa.
Yeah. And in the relationship. But,
sure, sure.
But how do you have a relationship with someone you're not paying attention to? That's not a, you're not seeing someone.
Jenna, you are saying more than you know here. I was listening to this podcast. A woman was describing like an experience in prayer. And she prefaced it by saying, now I had trained myself to hear the voice of God in order to like enter in and talk to the Lord about this like very intense thing. And she said, this was so cool. She said, I would practice like sitting in my room, prayer space, whatever, and I would write down everything I heard. So like the buzzing of the air conditioning,
Wow. The
like rustling of a piece of paper, the creak of my chair. I was like tuning my hearing, even my natural hearing, to learn how to pay attention. Isn't that so cool?
Yes.
And that began the training of her ear to hear the voice of God because she was quieting herself enough to listen within.
That's how I feel about poetry.
Yeah.
The best poems you've read are the ones that describe all of their senses of this particular specific quiet moment.
Yeah.
Like it's zeroing in on this and like exploding it.
Yes.
At all angles, interiorly, exteriorly, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's paying attention to your life, to that moment.
I think it's the way we describe something being like nuclear. It's like such a little thing, but you can feel the expansiveness of it. You can feel the gravity of it, even though it's like just like the sunlight in the trees. Something about that, often I'll describe it as like the veil is lifted and suddenly you feel it viscerally, the importance of it, the beauty of it, and it like arrests you.
Yeah.
It stops you.
Yeah.
But you're right, the paying attention has to come first in order to see that. Like if you're moving so fast.
Right. That's why I think it's really cool what the rescue devotional is inviting us into this Lent. I think we can like read the suffering servant in Isaiah 53 or read the passion narratives and not zero in on a moment or not see it.
Yes.
Like we've heard this story before. I know what happens. I think that's why the Passion of the Christ was such a beautiful work of art, is that when you have read hundreds of times before about Jesus falling for the first time, but then when you see him falling in the Passion of the Christ and you have that flashback with Mary and Jesus as a young boy, like this moment had depth and gravity as opposed to this like story that we've heard and this life that was lived that saved us. Like he was a real human and she was a real human, and this moment had expansiveness. I don't know how else to say that.
Yes. It wasn't an isolated moment. It was a glimpse into the whole of their relationship, the whole of their lives, the whole of salvation history.
Yes.
It was an expression of it.
When looking at rescued and like what we're looking at when we see the suffering servant, how Susanna has led us through this narrative every week of placing ourselves in the scene. I just think that's what art does. I think that's what story does, and poetry and film. Like we can put ourselves in it so that this wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago that means nothing to us now. But this was a real man who was tender, who was willing, who was meek, and we can see him now, as opposed to just read about him in a book.
I'm just thinking like the difference between reading it as a story, reading it as a narrative, which is so important that we get the 30,000 foot, like this is the story, you know, this is the fullness of it. But to deep dive a single moment like the fall, and even within that station, the look in Jesus's eyes, or the like readiness of Mary to go to her son. I love, like, in art, I've been noticing, a friend sent me an image from like the Sacre Coeur in France. Jesus, his foot is lifted, like he's coming toward you. There's like a movement to it. Similarly, these two women that I reflect on all the time, this art from the Church of the Visitation, Faith and Hope. Hope has a similar thing. Her foot is lifted. She's like coming toward you. There's a readiness there. There's a movement there. And so to deep dive a little detail like that in the gospel, in a piece of art, in a film, you're so good at talking about like paying attention to what moves you and bringing that to the Lord so that he can open it up even further, apply it to your life, make it personal for you, reveal something about his heart. There's so much possibility in Isaiah 53, which is why we stayed with one scripture kind of as the overarching theme, to be able to like deep dive those snapshots, those characteristics, and stay with a look, stay with a breath, stay with a single drop of blood.
Yeah, recently I, probably over the past month, just been in despair about like, who is God? Is any of this real? What's happening? You know, just struggling with like doubt. I wouldn't call that a vice. I don't know what I would call that. Struggle.
Sure.
Cross. So anyway, I just, you know, then I'm like, I'm an imposter. What am I? What is this life? All of it, you know, every weekday of Lent, we go live in the app at 3 p.m. Eastern. And we share our takeaway from Rescued, from our Lent devotional. And so I went live that day. And something that the Lord has shown me in the past few years is that I have a devotion to the precious blood. And that day happened to be Chica's day. I think that was week two. And she talks about the precious blood. She's doing her family's laundry. And she's like, I was searching for the greatest product to get these stains out of my family's clothes. and then related that to the Lord in terms of who puts blood on something to get the stains out. And that's what the Lord did for us. Like his blood washes us clean. But that's so like opposite of what we would think, right? Like we want bleach, not blood.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this happened to be on the same day that I was doing the live prayer in the app. I just got to go back to the cross. Mm. And I got to, in prayer, like as we're talking and sharing our takeaways and talking about the week and how Lent is and how we felt about this particular reflection from Chica, I was just brought back to the cross with Mary Magdalene, reminded of my favorite poem from Jessica Powers. Can't remember the title now, but I read it to them on the live. It's something mystic.
The blood's mystic?
The blood's mystic, maybe. The line in the poem that is my favorite is, "The warm blood stilled and silenced her." And I just got to go back to that and talk about it and be there again. And the Lord was reminding me I was a real man who was fully God. Mm. This happened. This was a historical real event that happened. And this blood was for you. Mm. So it's just a beautiful consolation, mm-hmm, that in my doubting or struggle, like, thank God for Blessed Is She, that I got to like pray with these women and like be reminded of the truth. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I would just keep being a little kid and drowning and like not know the truth. But like his invitation to me to do this prayer with other women forces me to stop and to pay attention at a time where I feel like I can do anything but pay attention because of just how chaotic and crazy life feels. Like not only pay attention, but be saved. Like believe again. Mm-hmm. Remember the truth. Mm-hmm. The reality of Jesus and what he did for me and for everyone.
Thanks, friend. So many things. I mean, this is your Lent. I'm not trying to be silly, but that's very Lenty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like this intense, dogged temptation to doubt.
Yeah.
To come up so viciously during Lent. And you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking, Jenna, you're in good company. Saint Therese wrestled with atheism.
Yeah.
Not only at the end of her life, but like all throughout her life. I think it's one of those things you can get so close you can't see, you know?
Yeah.
Again, if we were just talking, this conversation would be very different. But it's something, not to be flippant, but to like put in your back pocket. Like the precious blood is the entry point for you.
Yeah.
That's the anchor. Like you stake your life on the precious blood.
Yes.
You stake your faith on the precious blood, you know?
Yes.
And that's where you return again and again. I think it's particularly powerful, actually, for vanquishing this specific temptation. Like the Lord's giving you a template in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the place you come back to.
Mm-hmm.
The foot of the cross, the trickle of the precious blood for you.
Yeah.
It's such a personal grace. I mean, it's true for everyone, but it's yours.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to recover from that.
Well, apparently my Lent is Lenty.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, probably Lenty in that it's hard work in the depths that the Lord is doing deep shifting, reorganizing, settling, orienting. I'll just tell you what I'm doing for Lent. The Lord asked me to go outside and look at the stars every night. And I always know it's him when my immediate response is no. And then I start crying.
Sorry.
So what did you say?
No, thanks.
Yeah, basically, no, I'm not going to do that. First of all, dumb. Second of all, it's too kind. I like, it's hard to receive, which is an interesting response.
Mm.
And three, like, that's not very Lenty. You know what I mean? And it is, you know, as with all things with the Lord, it's many, many things. It's not just the one thing. But as you're describing this, like paying attention, slowing down, like looking at things, that's ultimately what happens for me every night. I like bundle up because it's chilly. The Arizona. It is.
It's beautiful. It's perfection.
It is beautiful. I mean, where else could you do this?
It's like 50 degrees.
Exactly. It's chilly. And I go across into like our back garden and I bring out like a picnic blanket and then like another blanket and I'm like bundled up and I just lay out and look at the stars. You know, it's pretty dark for Phoenix. Like I don't have street lights on the backside of our garden. We live like on an alley.
Which, praise God, because it's really lit a lot of places and you can't see the stars.
Honestly, I was driving home from dinner last night and I was looking, I was trying to anticipate, is this going to be a cloudy night? Because I've had some like totally occluded cloudy nights where like I can't see the stars at all. And so I was just out of curiosity, like looking up and I was like, I can't see anything. So it did make me realize, wow, I am kind of in a unique spot in my neighborhood that I can see the stars for the most part. So anyway, I just go out and look at the stars and it's like a lot of communication in silence. It's a lot of the language of silence. It's just like longing and questions and fears and tiredness, but like no words necessarily. And sometimes it feels like we're not talking about anything. We're just together. But I feel very alone, but like I feel the solitude of it. But like I know that he's with me. It's just like wild how many things it is. You know, actually, some of the nights that have been my favorite have been nights where it's been so cloudy I can't see the stars. Because I do feel like Abraham. If you read that scripture, when God invites Abraham to go out and look at the stars and number them if you can. And then he gives him this promise, so shall your descendants be, like as numerous as the stars. But he went out in the daytime because later in that same scripture, it says like when the sun went down, Abraham went out and he brought the animals out to sacrifice to like seal the covenant. So when God actually made the promise, it was daytime. He could not see any stars. And so I kind of love the cloudy ones, the cloudy nights, because something about it, it's like an opportunity to practice faith. Like, I know that the stars are there. It doesn't bother me. And I did kind of wrestle, do I even go out? Like, if I can't see the stars, like, do I go out? There was one night that it was quite cloudy. And like, as I came home and pulled in, like, it was all cloudy. And I was like, it's going to be a cloudy night. And I went out. Anyway, it's all my blankets in my sweats, you know, only the area like above, like directly above me had like opened up and cleared out. But there were like very thick, dense clouds all the way around. And it was like he just opened up this spot for me to like see the stars, you know. But even sharing these things, they seem like I could tell you specific moments or conversations or I don't know, things that I'm learning via deep dive on YouTube. I have this like insatiable need now to understand the scale of the galaxy, the scale of the universe. And early on, it did lead to a bit of an existential crisis, but we sorted that out. And it's been very healing, actually, to understand like the limitlessness of the universe is an expression of the limitlessness of God. And one night, again, like I'm sharing these graces, but they're off the top. Like these are the easy things to share. This isn't even the depth of what's happening because I don't know that I have language yet for what's happening within, like in the infrastructure of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like foundation level stuff that I don't have words for. So once I finally understood as best I could, the scale, the expanse of the universe, when I got over the existential crisis and I began to see like, oh, this is not emptiness. This is profound fullness, that this is an expression of the presence, the heart of God. And it's for me. One night I laid out there and he just said, for you, like all the stars, everything. Wow. Like everything was for me. Just like, because it captures me, like I'm so curious about it. And it's so beautiful to me. The stars are so beautiful to me. And he just said over and over, for you, for you. Anyway, that is not the grace I was going to share. But when I was reflecting just on the limitlessness and trying to receive that as a good thing instead of like a suffocating thing, that God is so big and other, like trying to reconcile that with the personal God that I know, I'm seeing more like who he really is, you know? And when I was just kind of like pondering the expansiveness of God, the limitlessness of God, I was thinking about the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. It just like clicked for me. That's nothing. Like I said it to him. I said it like, if this is who you are, then to part the Red Sea, which I think in like Christianese, right, in our like lexicon, our understanding of the Christian life and like the Bible, we might think like, if we really need a miracle, we really need God to come through, we need him to part the Red Sea, you know? Like that would be kind of our scale of like a big impossible thing.
The biggest thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I've prayed like part the Red Sea, you know, like, but I'm like digging deep, you know? And like compared to the universe, I was like, oh, parting the Red Sea is nothing.
Child's play.
Nothing to you. And I just like heard the Lord. Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like there's this like, an expanding of my own faith, like to understand like who God actually is. These things that I'm like, I'm trying to muster the faith to believe for and like, ooh, would God do it? But like deep down, it's like, can God do it? And I'm like, oh yeah, this, we're talking about the God of the universe, the God who made the universe. Yeah, he's fine. He's got it. He can do it, you know? The trick is, sorry, I feel like I'm going on and on, but the trick is to apply that to my real life. Do you know what I mean?
I just like all of the problems that I wonder will be taken care of.
Yeah.
And he's over here like messing with galaxies.
Jenna, can I please go off about like just a little bit of what I've learned?
Only 1 minute.
Okay.
You have 1 minute.
Okay. Okay. You guys, our galaxy, okay, to understand the scale of it, if we shrunk our galaxy, the Milky Way, down to the size of the United States of America, are you leaving? This is fascinating.
I wish.
If we shrunk, for perspective, our galaxy to fit within the United States of America, our solar system, just like the planets that we rotate with around the sun, which is an enormous star, if we shrunk that, the galaxy, down to America,
okay,
our solar system would fit on the tip of our finger. Our sun would be the size of a half of a red blood cell.
We'll put the video down below.
The video's insane. Where I learned this, and I'm sending it to everyone I know.
Yeah.
If you want to know the scale of the Earth in the galaxy on the scale of the United States of America, it would be 1/3 the size of the coronavirus. Like that's where we are in our galaxy. Okay. Our galaxy. Now, our galaxy is one of potentially innumerable galaxies, at least 100 billion galaxies for fun. 100 billion stars alone in our galaxy. The next closest galaxy, just one other galaxy, is 2.5 million light years away. If we were moving at the speed of light, it would take us 2.5 million years to get there, just for perspective, you know?
I can see how people would fall into an existential crisis. So take us off of that cliff.
Yeah, I think what has happened for me, what the Lord has done in me, He's allowed me to feel the terror of that, of my smallness, my seeming insignificance, the seeming insignificance of my life and the things I care about. And he's flipped the script. This scale is not about you. This scale is about me. This is how big I am. This is who I am. And the fact that I love you so much that I put on flesh and was born in time, in space, came to live like you, gave profound dignity to the human experience, all because of my love. When this is who I am, it's more about him than it is about us.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I do.
That was everything for me. When I stopped thinking about me and I started thinking about him, it's like Father Parks gave this insane homily.
That's a word.
On the second Sunday of Lent, and he was talking about the transfiguration. He related it to the story of Odysseus. And he's returning home after this long journey, and his wife, there's been a spell upon him. People can't see him. He looks like an old man. And all these suitors are coming for this woman that he loves, and so he's going to fight for her. And they're going into this battle, and all these like young, masculine, strong suitors are like, yeah, we'll take you, old man. But Odysseus, when he begins to derobe to enter into this like combat, they're seeing his body as he is, this like young, strong warrior, adventurer. They're seeing the hero that he actually is when he like lifts his robe. And Father Parks translated that to the transfiguration. He said, this is the same thing. Jesus was saying to the disciples, do you want to see who I really am? Can I lift the veil? Can I lift my robe and show you who I really am? And who you're going to become if you follow me, how I'm going to make you shine, how I'm going to totally transfigure you if you follow me, right? This is what the stars have done for me. The Lord is like, I love you and you love me. Can I show you more of who I really am? Can I lift my robe a little bit and unveil who I truly am for you? Can I show you more of me?
That's unreal.
It's been a stretching, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of YouTubers, and some of them talk about how holy God is.
Mm-hmm.
How incredibly set apart God is from us.
How other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, his holiness, we will never comprehend.
Yes.
How holy and pure and, yeah, other he is.
My friend Father Camus, I once heard him give a reflection before adoration, and he's like, we think that God is the highest or the best of us. Like, his purity is the purest we could ever be. No, his purity is totally other.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I love about these people that I've heard talk about the holiness of God is that there's the effect of recognizing his holiness is to fall on our face in what we, the most authentic and pure worship and devotion we could give to this God, to this creator, to this holy one. Mm. And that's something that I love to like ponder is, all the saints and the angels are before the throne of the Holy One. Mm-hmm. Like, all they're doing is exalting his name. And it's only about him and his holiness and like our offering of worship and devotion and affection to this Holy One who's all deserving of all of our love. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel when I say things like, I want to give you my whole heart. Like, I just want to like lay everything out to this one who's deserving of every single half of the red blood cell of me.
Yeah.
I don't know how to wrap that up other than, yeah, I think we can get afraid of that on one hand or overwhelmed by it, or we can say, yeah, God, this is about you.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
That's how we reconcile it, to realize who he actually is. For example, in this word, this characteristic of Jesus in Isaiah 53, the meekness of God, and that definition, just even the first part of the definition, quiet, gentle, easily imposed on, submissive. We're talking about the God who breathed the stars, 100 billion alone in our galaxy. And if we understood, again, the scale of that, like that God is willing to be quiet, gentle, easily imposed on, and submissive. He endures injury with patience and without resentment. When you understand who he is and then what he did, the right response, I think in a way, what we're describing, the terror of it, is a fear of God.
Yes.
That we're realizing the otherness of God. But his response to that is, no, I'm doing this for love of you, because I love you. I'm condescending. I'm becoming small and meek. I'm putting on skin for you, out of love for you. So the only response for us is worship.
Yes.
Is to give him back what he's given to us, which is everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the God who created at least 100 billion galaxies.
Very good, Jenna.
He bled.
Yeah.
On a cross for our atonement, to bring us back to him, to reconcile us to him, so that we could live with him forever.
Like he let us spit on him,
yeah,
despise him, reject him. That's how undomineering God is. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He's not trying to control us. It's just love, just pouring out, literally his blood pouring out love. Come to me. Let me love you. Let me do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Can we pray?
Yeah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Teach us how to pray. Grant us the grace to love you with everything, the way you deserve to be loved, God. To return our love to you in the same measure that you give it the fullness, Lord, everything. And Lord, I just have a sense that you're desiring a very specific yes. There's an offering that you want each one of us to make, something that is a burden, something heavy that we've been carrying. And you, Lamb of God, you want to take that from us. So Holy Spirit, would you illuminate what's that one thing that you want us to give to you in return for love, in trust? What sin or problem or fear or weakness, Lord, do you want to receive from us as our worship? We say yes, God. We want to give you everything. And that's all you want, all of us. Help us, Lord. Would you seal the truth and any graces that you've given to us through this conversation in your precious blood? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Real soon.